T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love that music. It fires me up every single time. I never knew this song before. I actually don't remember when it was that someone introduced it to me. And it just now, whenever I hear it, it gives me a jolt of energy and gives me joy. And I look forward to it. And that's exactly what we need right now. Halfway through our final show of the work week. And happy almost Friday for those of you who are still on your Thursday night. That actually includes me. It still feels like my Thursday night. But a lot of you waking up on your Friday mornings, ouch, doesn't matter. This is the last day. It's the last morning of the crazy week. And it seems like there's been a lot of craziness, at least in and around New York City, where we have our headquarters located. I don't know what's going on with traffic, morning and night. It's nutso. Might as well be rush hour when we come into the city at the time that we do. It should be quiet. It's not. It's the same thing in the morning, too. It's not even 10 minutes after the show ends, and already there's bumper-to-bumper traffic in places, which is 6 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So if it's happening in this city, well, then it's absolutely happening elsewhere. And the trends show that, now this is some of the big cities that have mass transit. Fewer people are taking mass transit since pandemic. And while you would think that since fewer people are working in the offices, that means there are fewer cars on the road, that's actually not the case, because fewer people are taking mass transit. That means more people are driving. And so there's more people on the roads. And now, at least in New York City, the stats show that there are more cars on the roads than pre-pandemic levels. They exceed pre-pandemic levels. Well, that's just one city. Whatever city you happen to be listening in, whether it's San Francisco, whether it's Las Vegas, whether it's Houston or Dallas or Cleveland or Miami, you all have to, Atlanta, you all have to deal with your own crazy, frustrating traffic cycles. So to that end, the statistics show that people are commuting earlier and earlier in the mornings because they want to get their workday started earlier, or they want to beat what they believe will be the worst of the traffic and then get done with work earlier and kind of have a slightly offset schedule, if that makes sense. So because of that, we know there are people already in their cars heading to work, number one. Number two, and sometimes the schedules might be different anyway. Number two, we have people who are heading to the gym, who are walking, who maybe do deliveries overnight, or you actually work overnight, work third shift. So, and then thinking about West Coast and the second shifters, we actually get people who are studying and reading, just can't sleep, they're up late. So we run the gamut on the show, and we enjoy it, and we try to have a good time. 2 hours to our weekend, and I hope for your sake that it's going to be a weekend full of whatever you need. I don't have any yard work this weekend. Instead, going to see one of my favorite musical groups, the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra, and it was right before the pandemic shut everything down. So it would have been February of 2020. This is the first time I'd ever done it. I went to the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, which is in Newark, to see the Symphony Orchestra, the NJSO, they call it. New Jersey Symphony Orchestra perform the score for Return of the Jedi while the movie was airing on a big screen in the auditorium. The acoustics are amazing. It's an auditorium that was built for music, built with music in mind. And the NJSO, like many symphony orchestras, state orchestras around the country, is brilliant. And I thought that I had experienced Star Wars every way that you possibly could. No, to watch it while the John Williams score is being performed live is a completely different emotional experience. Now, I missed the one last year. I think A New Hope was last year. I was on vacation, so I didn't see it. But Empire Strikes Back, I've had tickets since, easily since September or October of last year. So, and I'm not the only one from the building who's going. We've got some colleagues that are going too, actually. And so really looking forward to this. It's been circled on my calendar forever. New Jersey Symphony Orchestra performing The Empire Strikes Back, the score, the John Williams score, and then the movie will air. Of course, the wonders of technology, they can split up the dialogue from the music. So they take the music off of the broadcast of the movie, of the film, but you still do hear the dialogue. But it's, yeah, I'm pretty sure I cried four or five times when I saw Return of the Jedi this way. This is a movie I've seen probably 50 times, but it's a completely different experience, an emotional experience for the Star Wars nerd, and I cannot wait. So that's coming up on Saturday. Been looking forward to it for a long time. But no yard work, only spring cleaning. It's still technically spring. Mine just is a little bit delayed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also, our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The story that we're going to share with you now in these next couple minutes has to do with the mud. There is a reason why the cliche "stuck in the mud" exists. All cliches have truth behind them. So I'd like you to think about a time in your life, if it ever happened to you, that you've been stuck in the mud. Whether it was your vehicle stuck in the mud, whether it was your own 2 feet stuck in the mud, whether you did a face plant in the mud like I did. I'm not joking. I'll have to tell you my story, but first I want to share with you the story of Tom Kim from the PGA Championship round one. It's Rochester, New York. We were just talking about the leaders, Bryson DeChambeau, his physical transformation, Eric Cole being partly through his round. He's sitting at minus five. Tom Kim, well, we're not talking about him because he's on the leaderboard. No. He had a tee shot that went off the fairway. In fact, went not quite OB, but went way off the beaten path on the sixth hole. So as he walks down the fairway, he's searching for his tee shot. He was told, now a lot of times there's supposed to be spotters there that go into the rough or the high grasses, or maybe it's near a body of water. If it goes into the water, they're supposed to be able to tell you. There are spotters that are volunteers in many cases, and what their entire job is, it's all about planting a flag, or sometimes it's a little flag, or standing next to a golf ball that is not visible if you're on the fairway, right? So for those of us who are hat golfers or don't golf for a living, you know what we're talking about. It's hard to find golf balls if you're way up on the tee and you hit it, I don't know, 150, 200, 250, or in their cases, a lot of times 300 yards. You can't see where it lands. So that's the idea of having spotters. So as he's walking down the par four sixth, he's told that his golf ball has crossed a creek and is somewhere on the other side of this creek in some really high weeds. So he decides he's going to go searching for his brand new golf ball. But the video out there, if you watch it on TV live or if you've seen the videos, they're all over the PGA Twitter, but also there, you just have to search for Tom Kim, and this is what happens. He comes back, so he kind of dips down. The creek has a bed where it's low enough that a human being is not visible. A regular sized human being is not, maybe Nikola Jokic is visible, but Tom Kim disappears down into this creek bed. And you can't see what's happening. So he goes over, he tries to look for his golf ball, he doesn't find it. And he gets covered in mud for his troubles. So the idea was that he was going to try to find the golf ball to see if he could chip out. Okay, so if he can find his goal, he can play it. He wouldn't have the penalty stroke and have to take a drop. But instead, not only does he not find the golf ball in the high weeds, but he comes back up out of the creek bed covered in mud. Covered in mud. He had taken off his shoes and socks thinking that he was going to wade through this creek. And instead, he ends up in a mud pit. It's just a really muddy part of this creek. It maybe looked like it was innocent enough with just the water. And instead, the man sinks into the mud and actually said he couldn't get out of the mud. And so he has the fight of his life just trying to get his body out of the mud. Great stuff. He talked to Sky Sports after the fact. Now, he had a really good attitude about it. He's laughing. Not only does he get stuck in the mud and he can't get out for a few seconds, he said, but also once he's completely covered in mud, he decides, well, I might as well go back into the water and try to rinse this mud off of me. So he goes mud first, then he goes back in the water to take a bath to try to get the mud off of his clothes.
I'm sorry. No, as soon as I went in, I was thinking about not going in, but I got my feet wet and I was like, okay, it's too late to come back from it. And no, I wasn't able to find my ball, and there was a moment where basically my whole part of my legs were inside the mud and I wasn't able to get myself out for a minute, but you see me there, you see me disappear. I was talking to Joe, well, I might as well go in the water and wash myself off. And no, I took a bath over there.
Joe is his caddy. So yeah, he had to call for help. Tom Kim is 20. He's in the middle of the PGA Championship, the first round, and it all goes horribly wrong. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So yeah, he calls his caddy for help. What his caddy says, well, if I go in and I get stuck, neither one of us is getting out. So his caddy wasn't waiting in after him. But Tom actually had to crawl out of the mud. So it's not only his pants that are completely covered in mud. Again, if you've seen the video, it's hysterical. And he's laughing too. He not only has to, somehow pull his lower half out of this mud, but he then has to use his hands and his arms to try to get out because he's stuck. He can't get any momentum just by pulling his foot out. So he has to crawl out of the mud. So then his arms and his hands are covered in mud as well. And he said afterwards, well, it couldn't get any worse. I was covered in head to toe mud. So I thought I might as well just go in the water then and wash myself off. All right. So Sirius XM also did a quick interview with Tom Kim. And he gives a different part of the story to that channel.
Well, I mean, obviously hit the ball right off the tee and they told me landing in the mud. I wish they were just telling me we're in the water. No, but we're in the mud. I thought it was worth finding because sometimes it sits up there and if it's just hard enough, you're able to get a shot out of there. And I went in and didn't think it was going to be that soft. I knew that it was kind of soft, but I just didn't think I'd sink in that deep. And it was a dark moment for me.
Producer Jay, have you ever gotten stuck in mud? Vehicle, you, your face, anything like that?
Kinda, yeah. So actually, I was playing ice hockey on a frozen pond in the winter, and one part of the edge there wasn't frozen enough, I guess, towards the lip, and my foot went right in, and I sunk, and I was it was grabbing at my leg, like you really couldn't get out. Also, I had an ice skate on, mm-hmm. and I couldn't get my leg out of the mud. I ended up. Both my legs up to my waist were covered in mud. I had to go
Stop.
Home. Ruined my day. Yeah.
So that. Well, your other leg ended up in there as well?
Yeah, because I'm trying to get my one leg out, and then, like, everything's soft in the area, and I was on, like, the edge where, like, everything started breaking around me. So then my one leg's trying to propel my body weight to get my leg out. I'm wearing ice skates. I'm trying to contort myself.
Oh,
and it's,
man.
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
A not-so-frozen pond.
Yeah. Well, the middle seemed good. I don't know. This one section, I guess, just got a little too much sunlight.
Did you chase a puck in there or something?
Exactly.
Yeah. So mine is not anything to do with sports. Instead, my mud story, my muddy tale, is from when I was helping my mom plant a tree for what was her, I think it was her 60th birthday. And so we were still living in Ohio at the time, or my mom and her husband still had my grandparents' house in the Youngstown area, Northeast Ohio. And so we had this sloping backyard. It would slope down to the creek bed, and then it would slope up to this incredible layer and barrier of trees. So it was about an acre of property. But because there was a creek in the middle of it, there are times when it would get muddy toward the bottom. So we have the tree. It's a sapling. It's a red maple, one of my mom's favorites. We're going to plant it up on the upper tier of our backyard. So we have to go down through, over the creek bed, which is soft and muddy. And then we have to try to, in a wagon, it was actually a tractor with a motor, for heaven's sakes, but it had a wagon on the back. We're going to pull it up to the top in the upper yard where we can plant it on the side of the hill. So I'm just walking along behind as they're driving the tractor with the wagon. The tree's in there. I think mom's probably holding the tree to make sure it doesn't fall over. Mike's driving. And we get through the mud at the bottom. Again, it kind of soft ground because there had been a bunch of rain. We get through the soft spot at the bottom and some mud at the bottom. But then as we start to try to go up the hill, there's again a big spot of mud where the tractor gets stuck because it's got the heavy tree and Mike who's sitting on the tractor. So the bright idea, I'm sure it was my bright idea, I'll claim it, was to push. I was wearing sneakers, I guess. Maybe I was wearing boots, but probably sneakers. It's the fall. And so my bright idea is to push and to throw my body weight into the wagon on the back to help Mike get some momentum so that he can then get up the way the rest mm-hmm. of the hill. So what happens is I'm pushing, the thing's not budging, the wheels are spinning. First of all, there's mud flying up the back, so that's already getting me muddy. But that's not how I ended up completely covered in mud. Pushing. And you know, when you're trying to push a vehicle that's stuck, what do? You move your legs farther and farther back so that you can get more and more momentum. You can put more of your body weight into it. So I'm pushing.
Oh, no.
I'm not prone, but I would say I was probably a 45-degree angle off of the ground. Pushing, like trying to rock back and forth to push the back of this wagon on the tractor. All of a sudden, the tractor gets free, takes off. I was left doing a face plant right into a big, huge pile of mud. Now, here's the funny part. I mean, that in and of itself, I ate mud. I mean, I was prone in the mud. And because I had been leaning on the tractor, I went down so hard. It wasn't a graceful, hey, I can prevent my fall. No. I was 45 degrees, arms completely stretched out like I'm Superman, pushing as hard as I can. And when the tractor takes off, I'm left just boom, right into the mud.
You had your whole body weight on it.
My entire body weight slamming right into the mud. So not only do I have my whole front completely covered in mud, jeans, top, whatever I was wearing, face, it's in my hair. I'm not joking. Covered in mud. My mom and her husband don't even realize it. So they keep motoring up the hill.
Like the miracle.
They keep motoring up the hill. They have no idea. So no one comes back to help me up. No one is concerned about the fact that I did not make the trip up the hill until they get up to the hill. They up to the top of the hill, which is probably about 50 yards from where I am. And oh no, maybe it's more than that. It's probably 100 yards from where I am. They stop it. They turn off the tractor. They're all excited. They finally realize I'm not behind them. They turn around. I have barely gotten on my knees. I'm eating mud, covered in mud. And what is my mom's great idea? Let's take a picture.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, gloves are covered in mud, everything. And so, yes, there is a family photo. My mom says it's in a drawer somewhere. She laughs at it every time she sees it, of me covered in mud, hair, face, entire front, legs, everything, but a big smile on my face, probably had mud on my teeth too, because I was attempting to do a good deed to help my mom plant a tree for her milestone birthday.
Well, yeah, I mean, end of that story, you got the job done. You did it. You got the tree up the hill.
We freed the tractor, but Amy was no longer free from the mud.
That's just insult to injury, though. Take a photo, not even realize
they
I'm
didn't
laying
even
in
know.
The mud.
They didn't even know I'm lying in the mud. They have no idea. They get up to the spot where they're going to plant it, and they turn around, and all I've managed to do is get up on my knees, but... Oh, we collapsed in gales of laughter. We did.
They probably
we
felt
laughed
so,
a lot.
Like, awesome when they got to the top. Like, look, we
yeah,
did
we
it.
We did it.
Did it.
And
oh,
then they
man.
Turn around, and I'm barely peeling myself out of the mud.
You did it.
I mean, I did put a whole lot of weight into that tractor, getting that tractor
all
out.
All I had to do was steer and hold it. And I think you were the brain and the muscle behind that.
They just took off. The tractor took off, and Amy did a face plant. It was fantastic. So, Tom Kim... I know exactly how you feel. And it just sticks to you, right? Mud in parts of your body that there should never be mud.
I'm sorry.
If you got a good mud story, well, you can let us know on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning. Good Friday morning. If you're waking up on your Friday, yee-haw on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. We welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Oh, Amy, thank you so much. You're awesome. This is my first time calling.
Boom.
And I Googled you, too, because I was like, I wonder what she looks like, you know?
Great.
You're very beautiful. Hey, Amy, it's just a pure thrill to talk to you. I can't say enough about how much I like your show.
I want you to know, you're only starting out in your greatness. You got another 30 or 40 years. The way you carry yourself, I mean, oh, my God, it's like you're a typewriter. You're just reeling away, and you're not boring at all.
Well, that's good to know. Don't be afraid to catch fish.
Don't be afraid to catch these fish.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
First time I heard this song, I thought she was saying fish. I still kind of feel like she's saying fish. Feels fish. Truly. I mean, I love to fish. Clearly, my, what should I call him? My significant other, he takes me fishing for our first date. And, well, wouldn't you know, it worked. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Fish equals feels in my world. Coming up, speaking of feels, Rafael Nadal, very emotional as he shares his plans for the future. For those of you who are big tennis fans, this is tough. It's a little bit like Roger Federer. He did not want to retire or walk away either, but injuries oftentimes have a say. And Rafa's clearly emotional as he makes his announcements on social media on Thursday. Let's first talk to Errol, who's in Houston. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
How are you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Hey, I'm actually driving home from work at night, and a couple of nights ago, I didn't get a chance to call in. I'm a first-time caller.
Okay.
And I heard you talking about you had gotten tickets to go to the crown of the Statue of Liberty in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago, in fact, it's been over 30 years ago, my wife and I visited New York, and we decided that it was right before they did the renovation on the Statue of Liberty. And we decided that what we were going to do is we were going to go up to the crown. And you could either go by elevator or you could actually climb the stairwell and go all the way up to the crown at that time. So I had this great idea what we would do. I talked my wife into climbing up the stairwell. After we had started, we found out that wasn't such a great idea after all, because it was a long way. But the bottom line is there were people behind us, and we couldn't turn around.
Oh.
So once we got to the crown, our legs were aching We were tired, and needless to say, we decided that what we would do would take the elevator back down rather than try to climb back down the stairwell. But that came to mind when you talked about having tickets to go to the Crown at the Statue of Liberty.
Well, I think that I might be too stubborn to take an elevator. I will definitely be walking the steps. And this is my college roommate that I'm going with. If I tell her we're not taking the elevator, you have to walk with me, she's going to have to be up for that challenge too. Because I can't very well hike the Grand Canyon then and take an elevator to the top of the Statue of Liberty crown.
I understand. I'm just saying that, okay, I didn't know what the procedure was now since they had renovated the statue, whether or not they had opened up the stairwell back, because at one point in time it had gotten so, I guess, dangerous to do that because of the condition of the stairwell. Mm-hmm. They had stopped people from doing that. But I didn't know whether or not they had basically start allowing people to do that, or whether it was a situation where you had to go up and catch the elevator at this point in time.
No, they've done a ton of renovations. As you point out, they were, not only was it unstable, but after Superstorm Sandy came through the lower Manhattan, the New York City area, there was damage to it. And so for several years, it actually was closed. And even the base was closed for a while, too. It wasn't just the crown, but they've since reopened and they sell limited numbers of tickets. But yes, it is renovated and safe now. And so they are back to allowing people to go all the way up.
Well, great. I hope you enjoy it. And
thank you.
I'd like to hear about you. I'm just waiting to hear about your experience once you actually have an opportunity to climb it.
Yeah. It's coming up in July. So I certainly will tell the story here on the show. Thank you, Errol.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Good to talk to you in Houston. Thank you so much for listening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good to hear from people in Houston. I know it's working there. Not that my mom is listening. She's still teaching school. And even though she's getting close to finals, I would expect her to be sleeping right now. Though mom has sleep issues. I come by them honestly, I guess, because I inherited them from her. All right. Rafael Nadal, on his Instagram page, has actually announced that he will not compete in what is his favorite tournament, a tournament that he has dominated over the course of his career. He will be skipping the French Open. Now, he's got 22 Grand Slam singles titles. He's tied with Novak Djokovic. Remember, they passed Roger Federer, who will forever sit on 20, barring some miracle. But Rafa has 14 French Open crowns, 4 U.S. Opens, 2 Australian Opens, 2 Wimbledon championships, sitting at 22, again, tied with Novak Djokovic. And it's not as though we expected these guys to play forever, but in the case of Roger Federer, now the case of Rafael Nadal, they're not walking away because they've decided they no longer want to or they're satisfied with their careers. No, in both cases, injuries are forcing them out, and you can hear the emotion in Rafa's voice.
Hello, everyone. As you know, I will not be able to be in Roland Garros. Have been a few very difficult months. I worked super hard every day to try to be ready for the clay season, and then I was not able to play week after week, missing in super important tournaments for my tennis career, and now this one, no? The most important one, Roland Garros, the most important tournament of my tennis career. No? So after that, I decided to make a break. I need to stop for a while, try to recover my body. The last couple of years haven't been easy, too many problems.
He's actually dealing with a hip injury that goes back to the Australian Open in January. So he's been working to be healthy because not only does he want to get back on the circuit, but he's never missed the French Open. He made his debut there in 2005. It is the most important tournament to him, Roland Garros. He's the king of clay. I can't imagine anyone surpasses 14 singles championships at the French Open. And even as he turns 37 next month, his entire goal was to be ready. If for nothing else, than for the French Open. But as he tells BBC News, he, his medical staff, his trainers, they've worked to try to figure out how to approach this hip injury and how to help him feel better, how to treat it. It's not working.
We were not able to find the surgery every single day for the last. I was even working as much as possible every single day for the last 4 months. Have been very difficult months because we were not able to find the solution to the problem that I had in Australia. So today, I'm still in a position that I am not able to feel myself ready to compete at the standards that I need to be. My ambition is to try to stop, to give myself an opportunity to enjoy next year. That's probably going to be my last year in a professional tour. No? That's my idea.
He deserves to have the last run through, but I can imagine if he's not healthy that he's able to play all of the tournaments in 24. But similar to Roger Federer, who was at Wimbledon where fans could say goodbye to him. Remember, he was part of a ceremony that was honoring a milestone there at Wimbledon. But it would have been better to see him play, right? And I guess we've always, over the past few years, had in the back of our minds, this could be it for Roger, this could be it for Rafa. We may never see their matchup again. We may never see them with Novak Djokovic again. You got to have to keep that in mind. Same thing with Serena Williams. This could be the last time. But when these incredible athletes, some of the greatest we've ever seen compete in tennis, when they are forced out because of injuries, it almost feels like we got cheated. And they got cheated out of a happy ending. It reminded producer Jay of a comment that Francis Tiafoe made at the U.S. Open last fall, and he found the audio. This is Francis, but it's also a perspective that many young tennis players who faced Rafa or Roger or even Novak, who continues to compete, and you could imagine would likely end up breaking that tie with most Grand Slam titles ever on the men's side. These young players, and it happened with Serena and Venus too, they relish the opportunity to face these incredible champions because it may not happen again.
You see all these young guys, you know, get Rafa and Fed and Novak. I was like, am I ever going to be able to, you know, say I beat one of them? And so, you know, today I was like, nah, I'm going to do that. And so now it's something to tell the kids, the grandkids, yeah, I beat Rafa. Hopefully I never play him again.
That's going back to the U.S. Open. Hopefully I never play him again. Oh, I wonder if he would take that back now because of what we know about Nadal. I'll throw these numbers out. We repeat them every year. Of course, they accrue, but every year around the French Open, again, because he's never missed a tournament at Roland Garros, 18 appearances, a career record of 112-3. In matches at the French Open, 112-3. Wow. That's obviously the kind of dominance that we've never seen before and will likely never see again. But he won the trophy last year at age 36. It may be his last one. He was dealing with chronic foot pain then. But in capturing his 14th French Open crown, he also became the oldest champion in tournament history. 14 French Opens, and he hopes to compete in 24. I hope that that is the case as well. His passion for the sport, the way that he put his whole body into it, reminded me a little bit of Ken Griffey Jr., right? How much longer would Ken Griffey maybe have been able to play if he wasn't constantly throwing his body all over the field? Rafa did that. He's an extremely physical player, constantly running, chasing, you know, balls that he felt like he could get to, falling on the ground, diving around, and his physical style of play, his violent style of play at times potentially led to all these injuries he's dealt with. But the French Open, his kingdom. He will be missed, along with Federer. I still miss Roger Federer watching tennis tournaments.
You are listening.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Ryan out of the gun. Taylor stays in as he's back to the right side. Looking left, Ryan. Walks into the fade pattern into the end zone. It's a catch. Michael Pittman Jr. Touchdown. INDY. And the game is tied. 16 apiece with 16 ticks to go in the third quarter.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's Matt Taylor on Colts Radio. Why are we playing anything from the Indianapolis Colts and Matt Ryan? Well, because he's got a new gig. If you missed my conversation with Armando Salguero from Outkick, he joined us earlier in the show. It might be mid-May, but there's a lot going on in the NFL. Like Dalvin Cook and the Vikings, I now believe they are actually headed for a divorce. I thought it was just bunk before now. The latest was Saquon Barkley and his negotiations with the New York Giants. Also, Matt Ryan leaving the door open for a return to football. So why get into the broadcast booth? Well, talked about that with Armando. We had fun with it, actually. Matt Ryan versus Tom Brady. Who do you think will be the better analyst? That was the question I posed to him. And you can let me know what you think on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. I'm not really sure. It's not that Tom Brady isn't a talker. We know that he is. He's been practicing on his podcast with Jim Gray. But a lot of times he's relatively vanilla. My question about Tom is whether or not he can make the jump to actually criticizing. I'm not saying he's going to rip players, but being able to point out both strengths and weaknesses, both the positives and the negatives, which is very often a challenge for professional athletes, who move into a booth. I never thought of Matt Ryan as a great talker either. I always thought he was kind of boring. He gave you the company line, except he's headed into the CBS studios. He's going to be a part of the NFL on CBS. Yay. And he was explaining his role to Sirius XM NFL Radio this week.
The opportunity that they presented me with for next season, where it's a combination of doing some games and getting in the studio and doing some work there, just to really get a feel for how all of this operates and to learn from, you know, so many of the professionals that they have there. It seemed like a good fit, and I'm excited about that. And you never know. Like, I've tried to keep all doors open. We all know this league is crazy, and there's a lot of things that can happen in the course of a season. So I'm excited to be, you know, with CBS and, you know, really excited to do some of this work this fall.
The thing is, he made it very clear on his Twitter page when sharing the news that he's not retiring. This is not a retirement announcement, but he does admit that all of the, as he says, the stars would have to align for him to get back into the NFL.
I've just learned, you know, at least during my experience in the 15 years I've played, to just not shut any doors. You know, that's really the decision behind that. Like I said, I'm excited to kind of take this next step and to move forward. But, you know, at the same time, you never know what's going to happen in this league. Like I said, anything can shake out. And so we'll see what happens.
I'm intrigued. I don't know if he's going to have the same exuberance, which I know annoys a lot of people now about Tony Romo. I still find he and Jim Nantz to be an entertaining listen. Though admittedly, very often I'm tuning out announcers as I'm taking my own notes and watching plays. And then sometimes I'll go back and replay to hear what they have to say. Now and then, though, I'll hear Tony Romo do something goofy or say something goofy that catches my ear. And I do think he and Jim Nantz have a great rapport. So I wonder where Matt Ryan will slot in. Is he going to be the substitute? He's going to be the backup if another announcer or another analyst can't make it? Or are they going to give him a couple of one-off games in preseason? Not really sure, but he is going to do both games and studio. Watch out, Boomer Esiason, he's coming for your job. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Also with Armando, I asked him about the new quarterbacks in new places. Which one is the best fit? It was not Aaron Rodgers of the Jets, just so you know. He explained why he believes Anthony Richardson to the Colts is a great fit. Richardson is a project, okay? So is the job Gardner Minshew's? Well, maybe right now. It is mid-May. Gardner understands, though, that he's got to work with the rookie.
The first thing is just how impressive, you know, like the ball jumps out of his hand, you know, physically everything, like got everything you want, you know. So from that standpoint, just seeing him is like, wow, this dude's really got a chance, you know. And then, you know, getting around him and seeing, you know, how he works, how he, you know, takes criticism and wants to learn and get better. All those things are really, really encouraging to be around.
Let's just consider the Colts' progression for quarterback, shall we? Andrew Luck. Then it was Jacoby Brissett, right, for most of the season when Andrew Luck retired. Phillip Rivers. They went from Phillip Rivers to Carson Wentz. They went from Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan, who did not play the entire season. Remember, they benched him, but at least initially, Frank Reich did, because the offensive line was awful and Ryan was getting killed and was really ineffective. They go from, was it Sam Ehlinger? It was Sam Ehlinger, right? They go from Matt Ryan to Sam Ehlinger. Then Jeff Saturday takes over, puts Matt Ryan back on the field. It didn't work, obviously. It was just an abysmal season for the Colts, which is why they picked fourth overall, but then and were interested in moving up to the number one spot. So I don't know if Anthony Richardson was their first choice, but that's who they end up with in the draft. Their starter, though, after Matt Ryan and Sam Ehlinger last year, Sam's still there. It's Gardner Minshew. Man, what a progression. And of course, Gardner understands that in order to keep his job, he's going to have to be willing to work with Richardson.
Part of my role is trying to help get him comfortable. You know, you want to help, you know, the room as much as you can, you know, everybody that's in it. So, you know, we got two young guys, him and Sam. So just trying to help them out, you know, whenever I can, with whether it's learning the offense or, you know, just what it's like to how to prepare for meetings, how to get ready for practice, you know, that kind of stuff. Just wherever I can, you know, trying to make them comfortable there.
No, seriously, let's go through it again. Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, though Baker Mayfield did want to go to Indy. Remember that? Matt Ryan, Sam Ehlinger, back to Matt Ryan. Now potentially Gardner Minshew or Sam, keeping the seat warm for Anthony Richardson. Whoa, what's worse, the Colts' progression of QBs or the Commanders' progression of QBs since Kirk Cousins? What's worse? I don't even think I'd name all of those. Well, they went from Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith, right?
Yeah. How long ago was that now? Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins got drafted there. Mm-hmm. They gave him a couple of different runs through it. They went with Carson Wentz, too. Kyle Allen?
Got in there.
Because of Ron Rivera? No, seriously, which one's worse, Colts or Commanders?
Honestly, probably Commanders.
Gosh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.